Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me if I speak like this? Okay, great. Good to see you all. Thank you for coming on this beautiful morning. Jesus. When you think about Jesus, I wonder what aspect of his character, his personality, his actions come to mind. It's easy to see Jesus as a public figure, speaking truth to power, feeding the multitude, preaching to a vast crowd, performing miracles. And when we think of him like that, it's easy to forget that he was fully human too. In today's passage of scripture, we see Jesus amongst some of his most precious friends, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. In John chapter 11, Lazarus lay gravely ill. The sisters sent word to Jesus, the most natural thing for them to do. And Jesus immediately responded to say, "This sickness will not end in death." But before Jesus arrived at their house, Lazarus died. In fact, he'd been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus reached Bethany. The community was in mourning. As Jesus saw their tears, the tears of his dear friends, he wept too. And his great love moved him to action, for he raised Lazarus from the dead. Can we even begin to imagine the power of Jesus' love in that family's life? How much they loved him. One more thing before we look at today's passage. We need to talk about feet. Not wishing to put too fine a point upon it, feet can be pretty smelly, at least my teenage brothers were. Washing someone else's feet was and is an act of service, of humility, especially in a hot, dusty climate. A way of showing care to someone wearied by a long journey. In John chapter 13, we read how Jesus washed his disciples' feet to model the humble service he expects of us. But in today's reading, foot washing is done in a way that showed unparalleled love. Let's take a look. The account we read, thanks Martin for doing that, is set just before Passover, when Jews met to celebrate the way in which God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. Jesus went back to Bethany, where his good friends lived. And Martha, Mary, and Lazarus gave a dinner party in his honor. Can you sense the anticipation all around? Their good friend Jesus was coming. Martha, ever the practical sister, was serving dinner as people reclined at the table, as they did in those days, feet pointing outwards from the table. And Lazarus was there at the table with Jesus. It may well have been a delicious meal, but that wasn't why it went down in history. For Mary was about to do something extraordinary, extravagant, exceptional, something that no one would ever forget. Mary took some precious perfume, worth perhaps £30,000 in today's money, and she poured it all over Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Did you notice the detail recorded by an eyewitness? That the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It was an act of utter devotion, an outpouring, literally and metaphorically, of love. Mary did something lovely. It was between her and Jesus, but there was a whole party going on around them. Imagine if this had happened in Britain, let alone in Stapleford. Horror of horrors, how embarrassing. Such an unnecessary and undignified public display of emotion. But that wasn't how Judas Iscariot responded. That's the Judas, of course, who went on to betray Jesus to the authorities. No, his concern was much more practical. He had a nice little scam going, creaming off whatever he liked from the common purse. And all that was going up in smoke, or to be more precise, seeping into the ground beneath his feet. Greed is not an attractive thing, and so Judas dressed it up in a more socially acceptable form. Can you hear his feigned outrage? What a shocking waste of money when that money could have been given to the poor. I wonder if many of the people present saw through Judas's protestations. Judas certainly didn't fool Jesus. But instead of pointing to Judas's petty thieving, Jesus pointed back to the main narrative. Coming to Mary's defence, Jesus said to Judas and to the whole dinner party, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor amongst you, but you will not always have me." Now, why would a young man at the height of his powers point to his own death? Because he was on a mission. A mission to save all of humanity. A mission to save us here today. At Christmas time, we remember the three wise men who visited the baby Jesus with their gifts of myrrh, frankincense, and gold. And myrrh specifically pointed to Jesus' death. How extraordinarily appropriate then that Mary, through her gift of love, pointed to an even greater gift of love, a gift that Jesus would give only a few days later. How? By paying the price for our sin, our rebellion against God on the cross at Calvary. Mary had one chance to show her love, and she seized it with both hands. It's a tragedy that sometimes when we're moved to do something really lovely, we do not do it. Perhaps second thoughts suggest a more prudent path. Perhaps we feel too shy or awkward. And this affects the simplest things, the impulse to send a note of thanks or to tell somebody how much we appreciate them and what they've done for us. Perhaps it's a bigger thing, to offer a Ukrainian family a place of safety, to help out at church. Too often the impulse is strangled at birth. But the world would be a lovelier place if more of us, like Mary, acted on the impulse of the moment. Like Mary, we may never have the chance again. But there's one more thing to take from today's reading. How does our love compare to Mary's love for Jesus? Too often, if I'm honest, I'm lukewarm, distracted, indifferent, sometimes even ashamed. But let us take heart, for our Lord's love for us is very great. If we come close to him through worship, through prayer, through Bible study, through practical service, then he will come close to us. And when we do that, our lives will be transformed, just as Mary's was.